Blog Talk Radio.
Chris on IMPN Worldwide Radio on Around the ATL. We're doing an NFL draft show where my entire system crashed on me. It wasn't my fault, but it looks like we're back up and running. Jordan, are you there, sir?
Yes, sir. I am there. Okay. I'll tell you what, technology can be a great thing, but you know, sometimes it messes up at the most inopportune times because I was just getting into my draft pick zone, Charlie.
Man, oh, man, oh, man. I'm sorry for all the listeners and those who are watching the Atlanta Bird game. Also, I was trying to do the Facebook Live in Atlanta Bird game, but the I don't know if it was Facebook, but Facebook wouldn't let the camera reoperate, and I'm hitting refresh, and the camera wouldn't work either. So I was just having a double whammy there, but it looks like we're back up and running again. So, all right, so where I left off, I believe – well, no, you were – okay, so pick up back where you left off, Jordan.
Yeah, I was talking about some of the other quarterbacks, and I'm not sure exactly how much was heard before it went out. But you mentioned Kellen Mond. He is one of those guys, and I just think Kellen Mond probably will – from everything I've heard, his stock is rising, and he probably will go in the second round. And I really just don't want to spend that second-round pick on the quarterback. We don't take one at four. We might as well wait a little bit longer, in my opinion. Main two guys I have my eyes on are Jamie Newman, the 6'4", 230-pound transfer from Wake Forest to Georgia, who sat out due to COVID. A big guy with a strong arm, could throw it downfield, but also very mobile for a guy his size. And the other guy who I like a lot is Davis Mills out of Stanford, 6'4", 214 pounds. He doesn't have a ton of experience, only really having 1 year starting at quarterback, but he certainly has the tools to be an accurate passer at the NFL level. And the third guy who I prefer less than the other two is Sam Ehlinger out of Texas, 6'3", 230 pounds. Also mobile, very mobile for a man his size, you know, as such with the new age quarterback. But those are the guys I'm looking at, Chris. I'm looking at around fourth round, maybe that first fifth round pick for Newman. For Mills, you may have to go third round or maybe fourth round to get Mills. And so I do agree with you, Chris. We do need to take a quarterback. We only have Matt Ryan on the roster right now. Ideally, what I would like to see happen is I would like to see Grady Jarrett sign his contract extension. That would free up a little bit of more money under the cap for the Atlanta Falcons. That would allow them to have the money to sign their draft class and it would probably give you enough money left over to bring in some veteran quarterback from somewhere. And you could have that veteran compete with, say, a Jamie Newman for the backup spot. You know, and if Newman's able to beat that veteran out, you know, then that's great. And if he's not, you know, you just continue to develop him in hopes that you can find a diamond in the rough. And I'm not sure if this was heard before we cut out or not, but I just wanted to reiterate to everyone that the Dallas Cowboys starting quarterback, Dak Prescott, Dakota Prescott, was a fourth-round draft pick out of Mississippi State. And look at him. He just got paid. So, you know, you can find quarterbacks outside of, you know, the first round and outside of the top five. I mean, we all know that that guy Brady, you know, who's done us in, even though we really did ourselves in, was a sixth-round draft pick. Now, that's very rare. But I think Tony Romo was either sixth-round or undrafted as well. So it can happen, sir.
And that's the only reason I brought it in the first place, because, you know, we need a lot to go on, and we really – this is not a year per se. We've already went through 3 years of basically kind of rebuilding. Is this not the best way possible to do it, you know? And we know we do need a quarterback. Now, you mentioned some of the guys. I did see Jamie Newman. When I mentioned the other guys, especially that guy from Florida – Jamie Newman, I did see his name is there too, along with the Kellen Mond kid. I saw Sam Ellinger, as you mentioned as well. We have to get somebody, but we don't want to just get somebody. We want to get somebody who can actually play, who can play within an offense, and given the tools, could be successful. Now, there's always a crapshoot, of course. Nothing is guaranteed. Again, a couple of weeks ago, I went through a whole list of number one, number two, number three draft picks who are quarterbacks who did nothing in the NFL, but their college accolades were the best of the best. Like, you couldn't contest how good they were in college, but one reason or another, it didn't translate to success in the NFL. Sometimes it was personal. Sometimes they just couldn't really play. Because, you know, there is a big mental aspect to this game. Like, you do have to have a little bit of intelligence to play the position in the NFL. That's kind of a qualifier, you know. You've got to be able to do some stuff. But then also you have to want to be great. And Jordan just mentioned you got Dak Prescott, fourth rounder or whatnot. But he just got all the money in the world, didn't he? And also he's a pretty good quarterback too, you know. So it is possible, and I'm not downplaying the fact that, you know, we have the number four pick and Justin Fields could be the guy, looks like the guy. Trevor Lawrence also looks like the guy, could be the guy. But you don't know. You see what I'm saying? And right now, we do, like I said, if we didn't have Matt Ryan already on the team, it'd be completely different. If Matt Ryan was trying to plug for a trade, it'd be completely different. But none of those things are happening. And we know he's under contract. And we already know the cap hit if we did anything before that contract. So we don't know if it would be reasonable to have to pay the rookie scale on a quarterback that's going to play for at least 2 seasons, you know what I'm saying? So I think on that pick, I think both of us are agreeing that you go with the best player that could be available. And if it happens to be Fields, there might be another team that wants more than us. Or we just go and get the guy that could be the best athlete on the team in the draft, which would be Pitts. And he'd be a beast alongside, you know, the rest of the guys that we already got. Excuse me, 646-652-4479. I'm looking to make sure I only got no messages. You have just thought, Jordan?
Yeah, I don't know. My additional thought is, you know, I just think that, you know, we just need to go ahead and take Pitts, in my opinion. We had a problem when it comes to trading down. Now, and that problem is the Denver Broncos just traded a sixth-round draft pick to the Carolina Panthers for Teddy Bridgewater today. And so that's not to say the Denver Broncos still wouldn't be interested in a quarterback if the right one fell to them, but I think that makes it a whole lot less likely that they will want to trade up from number 9 to number 4. So now we're looking at a scenario, Chris, where if we do trade back, we're looking at number 15 you know, to the New England Patriots is probably the earliest spot that we would have. And I know, you know, a lot of picks would help fill more holes. But sometimes, Chris, you know, quality is greater, is better than quantity, you know, sometimes. And, you know, we could get a bunch of guys to fill a bunch of holes, but I'm just not excited about trading down from the fourth pick way down to 15 or later where we typically pick. And so with that being said, you know, I would just go ahead and stick, you know, with that fourth pick, and I would take Pitts. If not Pitts, it would be Fields for me. But I just, you know, from the part of the show that got cut off, I just, you know, outlined all the reasons why I don't think that taking a quarterback is the right thing to do at this time. And just to give you an idea or an example of quality and quantity, okay, this was the trade nearly 10 years ago when the Atlanta Falcons traded up for Julio Jones. Of course, Julio Jones, 2011 first-round pick, number 6 overall. In that trade, the Browns received our first-round pick, which was 22, I can't remember the exact number, but it was in the 20s. They also got our second-round pick. They got our fourth-round pick. They got our first-round pick the following year, and our fourth-round pick the following year. Some of those picks they used to package with other picks and trade up and whatnot, but this is what the Cleveland picks turned into. They turned into four players ultimately. Defensive tackle Phil Taylor, who was a decent nose tackle type player. Wide receiver Greg Little out of North Carolina, who never really did anything in the NFL. Fullback Owen Markakit. And quarterback Brandon Wheaton, who did nothing in the NFL. So here's the situation, you know, where five picks were traded for one pick. But I don't think there's anybody out there that would take those four players that those five picks ultimately turned into over having Julio Jones on your team for 10 years. And so we got to be careful, man, when you talk about trading way down, because I do think that there's a drop-off, you know, after about the top 12 picks or so in this draft.
That's true. That's something to think about in addition. I appreciate that. Second round, 35th pick. Now, with some people, now this is just my opinion, but let me do this. I'm going to context this every time. Here's what we got on defense as far as the on the edge. We have Tyler Davidson, Dante Fowler, John Comiskey, and I do not know who Barcavius Mingo is. I don't know who that is. Even me.
Oh, LSU Tiger.
And Chris Slayton. That's who we have currently. Now, what do we – now, we know we don't have an edge rusher. We don't have a bona fide anybody that's going to be that person to say, hey, I'm in the backfield, I'm about to sack you. We thought it was going – well, I don't know if we say we thought it was going to be Dante Fowler. But Dante is going to be here, and supposedly he's going to be healthy and all this kind of jibber-jabber, I don't know. We didn't see Tyler Davidson at all really be able to do anything. We know John Comiskey got a little bit of a motor, okay, right? But,
yes.
You know, from the players that are going to be available, you know, is there a person that is, I mean, in our case, we know what Tack did to us. We know what Vic Beasley did to us. Is there anybody in the draft that is going to be qualified as an edge rusher? And I'm looking at some names, but is there anybody out there to where would it be viable to do that with the second pick, you know, or is there a diamond in the rough to where you could do it in the third round, but is it important enough to try to go ahead and get, you know, a defensive player with the next pick? No matter who you get with the first pick, because that's going to be an offensive player.
Right. I think you have really three ways you can go, Chris. Really four if you want to break it down into all the positions in the second round. I do think edge rusher is very important. We know we have not had a dominant edge rusher since John Abraham outside of the one season that Vic Beasley had, which obviously turned out to be a fluke. You also could go secondary, the corner or safety, because we certainly need help there. Pretty much all of our safeties from last year are gone. Ricardo Allen is gone. He went to Cincinnati. Keon O'Neill, he went to Dallas, if I'm not mistaken, to play with Dan Quinn. And I think DeMonte KZ is in Dallas as well, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
So So, yes, we definitely need more safeties. We definitely need corner help, as I don't think anybody in Falcons Nation trusts Isaiah Oliver at all. And Kendall Sheffield has been hit or miss. Everybody likes A.J. Terrell and what he did in the draft, which, by the way, A.J. Terrell is a reminder that there are going to be some players that go much higher than these draft experts predict, as well as there are going to be some people, players that fall. A lot of the experts had A.J. Terrell as maybe the, you know, fifth, sixth, seventh best corner, and he turned out to be better than a lot of those corners they had rated ahead of him. So just keep that in mind. That being said, Chris, besides edge rusher and secondary, now I know this is going very offensive heavy, but there's a report out today that the Falcons have been doing their homework on running backs for day two, which would include the second and third round. Obviously, we know Arthur Smith loves to run the football. If you look at his scheme in Tennessee, you know, it's a power running scheme, obviously, with King Henry in the backfield being the spearhead of that. Obviously, not expecting to find a Derrick Henry in this draft, but there are some very interesting running backs in this draft as well. So you could go running back in the second round, and if you do that, I think you got to go edge in the third round, or you could go secondary edge, you know, really any combination of those positions, you know, in the second and third round, which happen to leave one, you know, for later rounds. That being said, some of the running backs I like, I do not believe for a minute that Najee Harris, who everybody likes out of Alabama, 6'2", 230 pounds, I don't believe for a minute that he's going to be there by the time our second round pick comes up. In fact, I'm expecting maybe the Pittsburgh Steelers to take him at the latest, because I know that they really don't have a running back since James Conner is in Arizona. So the second running back, and some people have him as the first running back, is Travis Etienne for many people out of Clemson, 5'10", 200 pounds. But me personally, I don't have him listed second, Chris. I have him third. The guy who I have second is the guy who I think will be there when we pick in the second round, and that's Javonte Williams out of North Carolina, 5'10", 220-pound running back. And he just is more of that power style back to me. And maybe I'm getting a little bit too caught up in seeing what Arthur Smith did with Derrick Henry. But I just, you know, I'm more looking at, you know, the power of running backs to fit his style. You know, and also, and I hate to bring this up, Chris, I really do, but having a bigger back, power back, it helps you a lot when it comes to pass protection when you leave your back in the block. Now, we had a smaller, quicker back that was a pretty good ball player, but unfortunately, in the biggest game of his life and all of our lives as soccer fans, he whipped twice on blocks that really, you know, cost us big time. One caused a fumble on a play that probably would have been a touchdown if he would have caught that block, and another one was the one that caused the sack late in the game that took us out of field goal range. So I think there are many reasons to look at big backs. And so Javonte Williams would be the guy I would want at 35 if we decide to go running back there. If we decide to go on the edge, there are a few players that I like. Greg Rousseau, who had 11.5 sacks in 2019, he may be there in the second round, 260-pound edge rusher out of Miami. Also, Joe Tryon out of Washington, 6'5", 262 pounds, athletic guy. A guy I don't know what to make of is Jason Owe out of Penn State, 6'4", 257 pounds. This guy runs a 4.3 40. But he didn't have any sacks last year, Chris. He's one of those guys that got a lot of pressure but didn't get it, bring the quarterback down. But we may not need to do that, because I think we've dealt with a lot of those guys like that over the past few years. But, you know, I hate to rule it out, because Darnell Hunter of the Minnesota Vikings had 1.5 sacks his last year in college. But very athletic, not as fast as Owe. And he's a very good ball player, Pro Bowl caliber edge rusher in the NFL. So it's all about what they see on film and whether they think they can make a way out of Penn State into a good edge rusher. But I would say that those are probably the top guys. Now, I see a lot of guys that like Carl Fashion Jr.
Jordan, keep that thought for a second, because I do want to integrate a couple of the folks off of Atlanta Bird Gang, because I do have some comments. I had some before, but they were lost when the live got deleted. Ricky initially was saying we need to go get Fields while we can. Who's to say, you know, where picks will be, you know, after next year? This is the best time to draft the future of the franchise, which will be Fields in our case. Also, he mentions that Dean Pease will be able to get the best out of players that we have, and the second pick maybe should be a running back. He mentioned NTN. I responded basically saying, you know, if we don't go defense in the second round, yeah, running back could be viable because we need a running back bad for the reasons you just mentioned, the Super Bowl. But we also need sacks pretty bad too. But I just wanted to give Ricky a little shout out there. You go ahead, Jordan.
Absolutely. And, you know, I wouldn't have any problem if they go running back in the second round. You know, I just prefer Javonte Williams over Travis Etienne. Etienne may be gone, honestly. But if Etienne is the guy, you know, I'll support that because he's a very good ball player. And what I was saying in terms of the edge, a lot of guys seem to like Carlos Basham Jr. out of Wake Forest. He's a 6'5", 275-pound edge rusher, but he's not really the guy I want. I'm not really big on these. I think we got some of those power-type edge rushers. He hadn't really seen much out of what Marlon Davidson can do. You mentioned John Comiskey, who's a bigger guy. I think we need speed on the edge. And one of the main things I look for in an edge rusher, Chris, is a guy who has that flexibility to dip and bend around the corner and get by the offensive tackle. Some of those bigger guys have trouble doing that, and what happens, you have to end up moving them inside on third down so they can rush from a defensive tackle position. We need somebody who can get pressure from the outside because Grady Jarrett is already getting a lot of pressure from the defensive tackle position. And don't get me wrong, he could use some help in there too. But I just think more of a athletic, bendable guy, you know, is the type of edge rusher we need. And the fact that we do have Dean Pease now, as my man in the Atlanta Bird game brought up, is a good thing because he plays more of a 3-4 multiple front defense. And so that will allow us to draft some of these smaller edge rushers who do have that athleticism and for us to still be able to use them in that 3-4 type defense.
646-652-4479. Appreciate all the watchers on Facebook Live on Atlanta Bird Gang and those who are listening live right now. Let me check, make sure we don't have any callers. We don't have any callers yet. But we've talked about some of our picks so far. As far as rounds, we talked about the first round and our first pick, number 4, possibly going to get Fields, possibly Pitts, and the reasons why and why not. Second round, possibly getting an edge rusher, possibly getting a running back, knowing that we are going to have that 3-4 defensive scheme. And we're going to, and again, one of the things we do need to mention is that we have a new head coach in Mr. Arthur. We do have defensive coach, and we have real – the shade is there. We have real coaches now. So the terminology of being coached up is going to play a huge part in us being able to improve from one year to another, where really, even though we were 4-12, we weren't a 4-12 team, and I think everybody knows that, but it is terrible to watch those 12 losses, especially that Detroit game of course. So here's the deal. We know we have these needs. Another need, and we've talked about it because we've lost all of our safeties. And although I like Oliver personally, I think he can get there again if he's coached up properly. But cornerback is another, you know, we're going to have a need there, cornerback and safety. So, you know, we know the flashy names are out there: Patrick Surtain II, Asante Samuel Jr. You know, we know their fathers. We got J.C. Horn out there. You got a Georgia kid.
We know his father.
Say again?
I said we know J.C. Horn's father, Joe Horn, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah. That's his son or his nephew.
Correct. And so you have some of those guys. Actually, you got two Georgia guys in this draft as far as on the defensive side there. That is an area of need where we are going to be looking at in the, let's say, I'm going to go back to my draft board. The third round, I believe, where am I at? There we go. Third, fourth, and fifth rounds. Now, again, there's so many players that are in college, and sometimes people get skipped over. Sometimes people, you know, could be misevaluated and things of that nature. But of those, some of those names that I've mentioned and some that you know, Jordan, on the cornerback and safety side, are there any, like, guys who you say we got to get if we're able to get them at our picks?
Well, I like a lot of the corners and the safeties. You mentioned the top ones that we probably won't be in the market for, J.C. Horn or Patrick Surtain or Greg Newsome out of Northwestern. I'm like, if we were to go corner in the second round, I don't think he'll be there in the third round. I really do like Eric Stokes out of UGA. He's been a solid corner. He ran very fast, a 4.3, 40 in the 40-yard dash. And he was a guy who a lot of teams didn't even throw to, because if you remember way back to when he was a freshman, he got on the field as an injury replacement. He picked up three passes and blocked a punt. And so, you know, teams stopped throwing to him once he became a starter. Like Asante Samuel Jr. as well, I think we get him. He may be there in the second, but the third we won't be able to get him. But there are some guys I do like if we were to go that route, you know, in the third round. Maybe a Kelvin Joseph out of Kentucky, Aaron Robinson out of UCF, and Ron Darius Williams out of Oklahoma State are some of the guys who would be a candidate if we were to go cornerback in the third round. As far as safeties go, the top safety, Trayvon Mooring out of TCU, he'll probably go in the first round. Richie Grant out of Central Florida, UCF, is a guy who I like and a lot of people like. He may make it to our third round pick, and if he's there, he may be that guy that I say, okay, he's there. We may need to go and turn in the card if he's there in the third round. But, you know, he may go in the second round as well. Javon Holland out of Oregon is another guy I like. He's a converted corner who once played corner and also played safety, so he can match up man-to-man with people. The other bonus about Javon Holland, he also returns kicks. And I know we signed Cordero Patterson, but it'd be great if we could get another player who was an explosive kick returner who we could also use somewhere else. So if something happens and Patterson can't play, you know, that weakness that we've had for so long becomes a strength. Andre Sisco out of Syracuse, another guy who I think could be a good third-round pick candidate at the safety position, very good ball skills, and Elijah Molden, another guy who has very good ball skills, picked off quite a few passes out of Washington, another former corner who can match up with people man-to-man. Is another safety I'm looking at in the third round. And keep in mind, Chris, I have more guys at all these positions, but I'm just kind of giving you the guys, you know, that may be, you know, second, third round range right now until we move on down. And before we move on, I do just want to make one more statement, though, Chris, about Dean Pease. I think Dean Pease being here makes a case for drafting Kyle Pitts rather than a quarterback that's going to sit for a couple of years. I think it makes a case, for taking – I agree, like the commenter said, for go ahead and go on offense and running back as well if your guy is there and you really want to do it. Because we are trying to win now, make no mistake about it. I just do not believe the 71-year-old Dean Pease, who was retired, will come out of retirement if we plan on trading everybody away and rebuilding this year. And so with that being said, I think the fact that Dean Pease is here means that we want to win.
Yeah, 646-652-4479. That's a big point because – you know, with how we're structured and with the players that we do have, as far as your skill players, are very good. And we literally, and here's the air quotes on Facebook Live, could be literally a few players away from going from 4-12 to 12-4. You know, you just don't know. And if all of a sudden you had one of the best receivers, and then you also had a top-flight running back to where all of a sudden not only are you controlling the clock, but you're also scoring a whole lot more, you know, and taking a little bit of leniency off of that defensive backfield, although you'll have A.J. back there and whoever end up getting, you know, as young quarterbacks or whatnot. But if all of a sudden that was a difference maker, we can see a complete turnaround very quick for the Falcons. Plus, two, again, one of my main things is you had the opposing quarterback able to make bacon pancakes, eggs, you know, sausage, and then throw the ball. You know, and when you know you can throw the ball and you're never going to get touched, you have a lot of confidence all of a sudden, no matter what's going on the other side of the ball. And so – if we could just fill some of those needs. Now, again, Dante Fowler might be that guy. He might really be able to help us out. Tyler Davidson, you know, let's see what he can do if he's full healthy. Jonathan Miskey, he does have that motor. He never stops, you know, as another person coming off the line. We have talent, But whether it was utilized correctly or not is going to be another thing. And, you know, of course, on the linebacker side, you got Deion Jones, you got Aluokun. Michael Walker played very well last year. So probably not going to be doing a lot on the linebacker side of things. You know, we still have Kendall Shepherd, Sheffield, I should say. We have players, but it's just like one of those deals where now that you have this new coaching regime, can they get the best? And can they put them in the best position to succeed? One of the best things I've said over the last few years is that what are the five things that makes your franchise a winner? You have an owner that wants to win, does what's necessary to win. You have a general manager that makes decisions over a long period of time, not just once in a while. You know, Julio Jones is Julio Jones once. But, you know, there's a lot of other stuff that didn't go right. We all know that. You also have to have a good to great coach. You have to have good to great players, and you have to be healthy. We haven't been healthy a whole heck of a lot, right? We know we got good to great players, but our coach ain't been good to great, right? And now we know we have a new general manager, and we know who the owner is. So we have a lot of fluctuation that's going to be going on, but to Jordan's point, this is a win-now mode, you know, because otherwise, you trade Matt Ryan away, apparently, you know. This is going to be go ahead.
Chris, I got a George Jewel that's going to back up everything that you're saying right now, Chris. This is a one jewel for you right now. And this was by Warren Sharp, at Sharp Football on Twitter, giving credit for the stat. And it's wins or one-score losses by teams drafted in the top 10. The leader of the pack was Dolphins, and this is wins and one-score losses combined, right, with 14. Number two was Carolina with 13. Number three on this list, sir, is the Atlanta Falcons with 12. We know we only won four games, but that's 8 one-score losses, Chris, that we had last season. So I think you're absolutely right. You know, if we could hit on the right draft picks, maybe hit on a couple mid-round picks, you know, later-round picks, and coach some of the guys that we already have, I don't think it's out of the realm of possibility at all that we can compete for the playoffs and get in the playoffs next season. So everybody who's just ready to rebuild and throw this whole thing away, I think you're jumping the gun. And I think, you know, everyone should realize, I know it's a different sport, but coaching makes a big difference. We're seeing it with the Hawks and Nate McMillan, how one guy is taking the same squad another guy had and is winning big time with them. Who's to say the Arthur Smith and Dean Pease can't do that? I at least want to give them a chance to see.
Exactly. And that's why I said that, because, again, a lot of people are ho-hum and doom and gloom and everything. And, again, a lot of those people weren't really watching no games last year, and they don't know context. They don't know how close we were to, you know, doing, you know, pretty big things, you know. And again, we had a general manager allow somebody to go 0-5 for no apparent reason. You see what I'm saying? So again, you know, when you have better coaching, you know, you have more attention to detail, and sometimes it is those little things. I mean, you take that stuff for granted until you see it on film, and you'd be like, well, how come he didn't wrap him up, or how come he didn't have this particular technique, or, you know, or why wasn't that person accountable? How come he's still on the field if he ain't going to play, right? All those things matter when you're trying to win games. And the Falcons are going to try to win some games this year. So it remains to be seen how things are going to go. Ricky says if we take Pitts, Julio is gone. I really still don't agree with that. It's possible, but I don't agree with it.
I don't agree with it, and I wouldn't do it.
With Julio than not with Julio. That's
who better for Pitts to learn from, Chris? As far in terms of route running and stuff in the NFL, I know they play different positions, but it's still a pass catcher. I think having you take Pitts, having Julio with Pitts for one season is more valuable than any draft pick you're going to get for Julio. Besides, with the way this thing is set up, unless you have some prearranged deal, you can't even really trade Julio until after June 1st, meaning we wouldn't even get a pick this year for Julio. It'd be next year. I'm not trading Julio if it's me, sir. I'm saying bring them all back. Let's see what we got first before we start getting rid of great players.
Yeah. And plus, too, I want to beat our division straight up. You know what I'm saying? I want the revenge tour. You know what I'm saying? So I mean, because there were so many, and Ricky and the Atlanta Bird Gang group just mentioned, bad coaching messed us up last year. There was just too many things. That the special teams play against Detroit, or was it Indianapolis? I think it was Indianapolis. I saw that ball spinning, and I had a friend of mine who was here, and I was
that
trying
was
to
the Cowboys,
teach her.
That was the Cowboys we were playing that game.
I was trying to teach her football, and I'm sitting on the edge of my chair, and I'm just seeing that ball just spinning and spinning, and none of our guys are getting it. And I had never seen that ever in my life, all these years of watching football. I ain't never seen that before. And I was just so I didn't know what to do. I sat there for like 2 hours after that, just traumatized, you know. And just to think, if we actually had a better person in that position, that would never have been a possibility. But it was with us because it just didn't seem to matter that much. And that's what was so upsetting about these last few years, especially, you know, we see all these highlights of, or lowlights of, you know, tax. And bringing out the picture of his grandmother and all this kind of stuff, but we know what happened after that. You know what I'm saying? That was bad. That whole situation was just bad from the beginning to end, and there was no accountability from anybody on that. They let that happen. And I believe this new coaching staff that's coming in here, none of those things would even be possible. You know what I'm saying? Duke Riley wouldn't be possible. Vic Beasley wouldn't be possible. With this new staff coming in, I have to believe that because it has to get better, right? 646-652-4479. Before we go forward, I do want to thank those who've been watching on the Atlanta Bird Game. I see a lot of y'all watching. Thanks to Ricky for being participatory. Y'all call in. The number is there, 642. I almost forgot my own number all of a sudden just then. 646-652-4479, call in. Now we did lose some time because of the disconnect of the service earlier. I don't want to go too much longer because of course, you know, we got a big day tomorrow. But I did want to go through one more part of our draft, offensive line, you know. And we know that there are some highlights on the offensive line with some of our younger players. And then there are some guys who we know really should not have been on the offensive line at all. So with this draft, are there players out there? And I know we've seen some who've been, you know, mentioned a lot with us and whatnot. But can they play is another question. But, Jordan, are there any offensive linemen or guards that you think would be good to draft in this particular draft this year?
Yes, sir. There are several guys who I like. Some of them may be a little bit too high for where we're probably going to go, because we've already talked about the second and third round. So at this point, we're probably looking at fourth or fifth round for a guard. A guy who I like, and you know I'm a homer, Ben Cleveland out of the University of Georgia, 6'6", 343 pounds. And you talk about a big, nasty, power-running type lineman, which is what I definitely believe we need. But we need guys to play. No more Jamon Browns and James Carpenters, okay? Also, Aaron Banks out of Notre Dame, he's 6'5", 330 pounds. Trey Smith, Tennessee, 6'6", 320 pounds. Devontae Brown out of Alabama, 6'4", 338 pounds. Tommy Kramer out of Notre Dame, 6'5", 320 pounds. And one of my absolute sleepers in this draft, an HBCU guy, in fact, he's David Moore out of Grambling State University. He's 6'3", 320 pounds. Small school, but I believe this guy can play, Chris. And in fact, he was invited to the Senior Bowl playing against all those guys from the bigger schools. And he more than held his own blocking those linemen from the bigger schools. So he's a guy I'm hoping that we could draft in maybe fourth or fifth round, probably fifth round. I'm hoping that we could. Cause I think I know for a fact we have two picks back to back later in the fifth round. If he's still there when those two back to back picks come up, I want us to take him off the board at one of those picks, Chris.
And the reason I wanted to talk about offensive linemen at least for a moment is because we've been real small at offensive linemen for a long time. And you know, there was a point in time where that was cool and everything, but in today's NFL, you know that cliche, right? It's about time that we're able to move the pile. It's about time that we can take control literally because we are bigger than the other team. It gets old that we get pushed around and we can't stop nobody. That junk gets old, and eventually we need to get some beef up there, you know. It's all in the trenches. Both sides of the ball is always going to be like that. And the teams that get better at those positions are the ones who sustain themselves winning for a long period of time. Looks like I got a caller. Let's go ahead and bring him in real quick.
Hey, this is and thank you so much for allowing me to be on the show. This is Ricky. I got tired of talking. I'm typing.
Yeah, there you go. Hey, what's going on, Ricky? Thank you for calling, Ricky. Where are you calling from?
Hey, I'm from Atlanta, up in Lilburn, just about an Atlanta Falcons fan, and I just appreciate everything that's in here. I just wanted to give my own little 2 cents on the on what's going on as far as the draft is concerned. Just going back, like you said, everybody is talking about now as far as O-line. So I just want to stay in the vein of where you are right now. I'm with you. That guy from Georgia, that boy is ridiculous.
Yeah.
He is ridiculous. Yes, and yeah, he's that stonewall that'll keep if Matt. You know, it's a lot of people that wants to get rid of Matt Ryan, and as I was telling you before, I think this is just my thought process. I think that we should go head on and get Fields because we don't know when the next time that we're going to be back at number four. So this type of pick this far up in the draft, this needs to be a generational pick. It needs to be a pick that we're going to invest in. I think like that Calvin Ridley pick, this needs to be that type of pick, and I just feel like it needs to be now. Like I said, that's me. I just feel like
right.
I feel like it needs to be Justin Fields. Or if not Justin Fields, if he's not there, Trey Lance, somebody that's going to be in that position to be able to learn from Matt Ryan for a year, because Matt's going to play this year. If people can talk like they want to, they're not going to set that $150 million man down on the bench and just let him sit there. Now, will it push him to be a better quarterback? Because like I said, I'm gonna say this, and you can quote me on this about 6 games into the season. Matt Ryan has been unusually quiet, very quiet.
Mm.
You haven't heard anything about Matt Ryan or nothing. Don't you think for 1 minute now that Matt is not listening to everybody in Atlanta, looking at all these memes, looking at all of our Bird Gang, everybody else, because I'm in a lot of the Facebook groups. Don't think he's not looking at those things and seeing what people are saying about him. You understand?
Right.
I will say this, and this is my thought process on it. Last year, the O-line on the right-hand side, as long as McGarry and Lindstrom was good, that pretty much, if you look at the runs that did net more than 3 to 5 yards, those runs came from the right side of the offensive line. Because Lindstrom,
right.
And once McGarry got it, he was kind of lost
right.
without Lindstrom. But when Lindstrom came in and both of them was in there, they were able to get to that right side real good. The problem was the left side because you kept having Gono over there. And then I'm looking at Jake Matthews like, dude, you know what you're supposed to do. There is no way that you're missing tackles. There's no way that you're not on you're not doing what you're supposed to do. You're not on the play. So that's one thing. You can have Matt Ryan as a play action type of guy. Well, if you ain't got a run game, how you gonna run the play action? No one respects
right.
it. Nobody respects
right.
that. Then because nobody respected it, people wasn't working their gaps. People wasn't doing what they're supposed to do. Before Matt took 3 steps back, and he's got 4 or 5 guys aiming at him. Well,
mm-hmm.
we need plays to develop. Even with Julio, as great as Julio is, and as fast as Calvin is, even Russell Gage, because he was in on it as well. Zacchaeus, these plays need time to develop. Well, if you don't have if no one's blocking like they're supposed to, people are not on their assignments like they're supposed to, of course Matt's going to be flustered. He's going to throw interceptions. He's going to, because he ain't trying to get killed in the back. You understand? So my thought process looking at the whole season last year, Dirk Cutter did a garbage job. Garbage.
Garbage.
Dirt Cutter was hot, got the hottest garbage in the middle, the hottest day in the summertime at the landfill. That's the kind of offense that Dirt Cutter ran last year. He should have been shot. Arthur Blank should sue him for the money that he paid him to be offensive coordinator 2 years in a row. But that was Dan Quinn's
mess. I totally agree.
That was Dan Quinn's
mess.
That was Dan
Quinn. I totally agree with that. And I think a left guard would do a lot for helping
hot garbage.
Stop that, what you were talking about on the left side.
Man, the left side was ridiculous. So the left side was always caving in. If I watch film, I'm a student of the game. I love the Atlanta Falcons, but I'm a student of the game. I'm looking at the left side. I'm saying to myself, they're coming through left side, left side. And sure enough, Matthews, bruh, you getting paid. You getting broke off for offensive linemen, and you are missing tackles. How can you miss tackles, dude? How you not covering your gaps?
Yeah,
you know the other two boys are shaking.
He's not been nowhere near the guy he should have been.
No, man. He was not like the 2016.
Yeah,
he's better
as a pass blocker than he is a run blocker. But, I don't know. But
yeah,
I think if you got a power guy at that left guard spot, a guy that's so big that, you know, that guy that Matthews didn't have to worry about helping, because that probably was part of Matthews' problem. He tried to make sure the guard don't get beat up the snap first before he go out there and get his guy.
But I think
if we had a better left guard, it would really help a lot. And that's why, you know, some of the guys we mentioned, like a Ben Cleveland, and another guy who I do like out of Georgia as well is Trey Hill, 6'4", 330. Now, he played center at Georgia, but I don't really like him as a center because he had problems with the snap quite a bit. And so I don't think we need
move
those
to the left side.
I think
he'd be good.
Yeah, he'd be a great guard.
He'd be good as a center.
Right, right. I wouldn't mind having some competition for Hennessy, but I like Trey Hill as a guard prospect at 330 pounds because he's a good blocker. I just don't think he's as good at snapping the football.
And then you have to realize Arthur Smith is going to bring in O-line. Don't think that he's trying to find the best O-line down in the later rounds.
Arthur Smith is originally an O-line coach, by the way.
Exactly. So he knows. He's trying to set up the run game. That's why I was like, okay, we got the kid from the Carolina Panthers. But if you put an ETN back there, fresh legs, and a guy that can cut and catch out the back, man, that's ridiculous.
So you like ETN? What do you think about Javonte Williams out of North Carolina? Because that's my guy. He's a power guy, but he's got good hands too now for a big guy.
And he's a punisher. He's a punisher.
Mm-hmm.
And that's exactly, and that's what I'm picturing Arthur Smith getting, somebody that's like Derrick Henry, just that punisher, that downhill, but still can catch out the back. Because not to mention that pickup, was it Patterson? That pickup from Chicago?
Yes.
The punt returner? Oh no.
Yes.
I'm already seeing creative ways of how he gonna use him. That's ridiculous.
Right.
Because
he plays running back and wide receiver.
So that gives you
a receiving option. Yeah, and a guy you can use on your jet sweeps and all types of stuff. So you're right.
Exactly.
That does give us another
weapon. So I was looking at how Pease is getting ready to set this up to the point where you don't know which kind of run coming at you because he got three punishers in the background that's ready to go. So it's relevant of what he's doing, but my thought process is I feel like he should pick up if Fields is there and it's four, get him. That's all I'm saying. Get him. That's my thought process.
Yeah, and I mentioned earlier, you know, I don't think this is quite ideal because I think if we know he's going to sit for 1 year, but then next year we're going to be faced with, are we going to sit him again or are we going to take a huge cap hit to get rid of Matt Ryan of like $20-something million for next year and for 22 and 23? And so that's why I don't think it's ideal.
That's why I think, again,
I don't know why people are not don't know that, but he's under contract still, y'all. I'm like, that's not what you do, you know, when you're
and it's restructured,
you know.
And it's restructured. They restructured
so
they can free up cap money. So he's got guaranteed money regardless, but. But, okay, my question is, what happens if something happens to Matt? Matt get hurt this year, who do we have? We don't have no quarterbacks on the roster.
Well, we don't have nobody yet,
but
and that's what I talked about. We got to get a quarterback. Personally, you know, if we could get him in the fourth or fifth round, I like Jamie Newman, who was supposed to start for Georgia, but he's a big mobile quarterback. And like I remind everybody, you know, Dak Prescott was a fourth-round pick. And so, you know, I'd rather go that way. But don't get me wrong. He's another one. Davis Mills out of Stanford is decent. I mean, there's some guys that are there, but if you do that and then you restructure Grady, you could also bring a veteran in to compete with that young quarterback for the backup quarterback position. That's how I would like to see it go. Now, don't get me wrong. I love Justin Fields. I believe in Justin Fields. He's a Georgia kid. He's got, you know, he can throw the deep ball. We saw him take a big shot against Clemson and come right back.
Big one.
Zoom that ball
tough.
And throw those touchdowns.
Tough,
so I love Fields. I wouldn't be mad at all if they do that, but I also wouldn't be mad if they go Kyle Pitts. I still cannot believe, I just can't believe it personally, that San Francisco is going to pass on Fields. I'll be shocked. And take Mac Jones, I'll be shocked. Now, when it comes to Trey Lance, I'm a little bit more iffy on Trey Lance. I love Trey Lance's potential, but I just, when I try to find film of him trying to throw through any kind of traffic, almost everything you watch of this guy, everybody's open he's throwing to. And so
I just
thought it would be a longer adjustment.
That kind of reduced
the bulk of their competition at that level.
But I could see the Mac Jones pickup for San Francisco only because of one reason and one reason only. He's a pocket passer. He's a pocket passer that can move. That was one of the things because if you look at the zone offense that he runs, that zone offense has a heavy play action, but you got to be accurate on the passes. One thing that Mac Jones was, that boy was accurate. I'm talking about 100. He was putting on numbers all season long.
He also played with the highest rated group of receivers.
I was going to say to his defense. He also had the Heisman Trophy receiver, not to mention Najee was no joke.
Before Waddle got hurt, he had Waddle, too.
He had Waddle, too. So he had a plethora of wide receivers to throw to, but he was still accurate. Even in the short game crossing pattern,
he was good.
He was accurate.
I don't think Mac Jones is going to be a bad quarterback. I really don't. I don't think he's going to be.
I think he's going to be good. He's going to be better than
a lot
of people.
If he's going to be really good, it'll be because he's very smart, which I don't really know how smart he is. But I believe in Justin Fields. Justin Fields was rated number two in the nation in high school behind Lawrence, and not just number two quarterback, number two player in the nation
in the nation.
That same class. And I just think that Justin Fields is going to be good. So I love Fields. I'd be happy if they pick Fields, but I also wouldn't be mad if they go ahead and take Kyle Pitts and go ahead and build this team up so when we do have the next quarterback, you know, he'll have Ridley, he'll have a pitch to throw to, you know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, either way, you really can't go wrong because even if they do pick up Pitts, he's a generational player as well. He's a player that you're going to have regardless.
Right.
Freak of speed for a tight end and hand. So, yeah.
If I do take Lance, too. I support that as well. I'm not as confident in Lance as I am in Fields and Pitts.
Right.
But if they one thing about all these prospects that we can't do, we don't get a chance to actually talk to these guys face-to-face ourselves. You know what I mean?
Right.
And so,
they
do a lot of background on these kids, and they get a chance to talk to these kids face-to-face. And if they see this guy as being a super smart guy, and they see him as a franchise guy, I support that, too. You know what I mean? Now, the only picks that I won't really be happy about, I don't want to take Penei Sewell at four. I'm sorry.
No.
He may be a great offensive lineman, but it's too many generational quarterback or weapon-type guys in this draft to go with Penei Sewell at number four. I like Jamar Chase. Right. I like Jamar Chase, but I just feel like between the two, I'd rather have Pitts because I feel like the tight end is harder to match up with. You know what I mean? You put this guy in line, and 9 times out of 10, it's going to be a safety. They can't put no linebacker on him. Safeties ain't going to be able to check him. And if you try to put a corner on the tight end, and we got both tight ends on the field.
The corner ain't big enough.
Corner ain't big enough. He's going to get burst out. But if we got two tight ends on the field, and they running 5 DBs, you could just run the ball.
Pick your poison. And then because Hurts Hurst wasn't no joke this year. He just ain't.
No, he's a good player. You remember how New England Patriots used to run all those two tight end sets when they had the Gangster and Gronk? Talk about Aaron Hernandez.
Yeah. Yeah, I remember.
And, you know, they even ran a lot of two tight end stuff out of shotgun.
They were almost unstoppable.
I could see us doing that with Kyle Pitts and Hayden Hurst. The other thing, having both of those guys, and with Pitts being able to line up as a tight end or a wide receiver, what it does, when you run your no-huddle offense, you can shift from a power formation. You can move one of them niggas in the backfield if you want to and run two backs and one and two wide receivers. You can spread it out and have three wide receivers. Hurst is athletic enough. You can spread him out and have four wide receivers set, but with the same personnel on the floor. You could, so you could go from spread to power with the same personnel, and teams wouldn't know what to do when you're running no huddle. And if they get caught with two
like
linebackers on the field,
he's just like another wide receiver. Wide receiver. And then you got a blocking tight end that they just picked up, the one that they got, I think it was from Buffalo, I think. You got a blocking tight end. That's all he said. He sound nasty.
That guy
that they picked up in free agency. So, I mean, either way, I'm with you. Everybody got their own favorites. But at the end of the day, all of us to be good with, either if it's Pitts, we'll be good with it, because if you're going to put him, because I think that Julio Jones stuff was a smokescreen. But in a way, I kind of played it of saying it, because that's why I put it in the comments. I was saying to myself, well, if we get pissed, then is Julio on the chopping block? Are they going to really try to push the trade, Julio?
But I wouldn't do that this year. I'm letting Pitts learn from Julio, because even he plays wide receiver and tight end. So who better to learn how to run routes from than another freak of nature, one of the best receivers of all time, the highest yards per game of any receiver of all time. Ain't no way I would draft Kyle Pitts and get rid of Julio this year. I would rather learn from Julio for at least 1 year before I think about moving on
to
Julio.
But like I just mentioned,
Dean Pease is 71 years old. That man didn't come here to rebuild, in my opinion. So I think we're going to roll with Matt and Julio next year, and let's see what we can do. But I hate to cut you off, man, but Chris is telling me that somehow something's happening with the internet connection again.
He got locked out again.
He wants me to go ahead and close out and end the show, man. But we certainly appreciate you calling, man. Don't be a stranger, man. Call us again, because I love to chop it up with passionate Falcon fans, you know, such as myself and you and Chris.
Yeah, man, I would love to do that. I'll make sure, man, y'all be back on again. I'll call in. I enjoy it.
Yes, sir.
It,
be on the lookout for us, because we'll definitely be back on, and we'll definitely have something going on next week to talk about all the guys that we did pick in the draft. So, man, I have to let you go for now, because I got to end the show, man, but I sure appreciate you calling, and I certainly enjoyed the conversation, my brother.
As well. You take care, y'all. Take care. Have a good one.
Have a great one, man.
Bye-bye.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, looks like we are having technical difficulties once again. We certainly do apologize. Hopefully, y'all were able to catch some of that conversation. I have so many more draft picks I want to discuss. I got sleeper edge rushers for the later rounds. I've got all kind of stuff, man. As you guys know, I did a lot of draft work with ATLAllDay.com. You can look at some of my past work there, and I just enjoy breaking down these draft picks. But with that being said, we certainly appreciate everyone out there who listen to us tonight. We sincerely do apologize for the technical difficulties. We'll get this corrected, and we will see y'all next week to talk about more drafts. And last but not least, as always, every show, I want to thank God for giving me this breath that I breathe to talk about these Atlanta and these Georgia sports that I love. See y'all next week.